Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study of Michael the Archangel, as mentioned in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Before diving into Daniel chapter 12, we're going to do a biblical survey of all the information we have been given on Michael, the only angel called Archangel and the defender of Israel. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin this study of Michael the Archangel, as mentioned in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. This is part 1 of 2.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Let's get a little Bible study in here. Amen? We're going to talk about Michael the Archangel. I love these kind of paintings because it's kind of a hint of the angelic, but you don't actually see the angel because we don't know anything other than they're men. They show up in white apparel, glow, and they have they're glorified and that sort of thing. But no, the Bible never says they have wings on angels, unless they're cherubs. But unless they're cherubs, they're just rank and file angels. There's no evidence of, they never are said to have wings. They're just called men.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Anyway, we begin the final chapter in Daniel by seeing clearly that Daniel 11 prophecies are about Antiochus and the coming Antichrist. It's the first or last time I'm going to mention this. I might mention it next week too. But anyway, we've been going over and over as we've gone through chapter 11 about how important it is that in the future when you read Daniel 11, and that was the whole point of our studies over the last few weeks. Do you know that? So from now on, when you read Daniel 11, what you've learned here can come to mind. And if you have a memory like mine, that's why you should take notes. But you can write things in your margin and that sort of thing, or a little sticky notes or whatever. And I've repeated this, and I want to show you just a last real fiery example of how we know that the prophecies of Antiochus have a dual fulfillment, and they will come to pass again in a different form, but the prophecies are going to have a dual fulfillment. That means twice. Now look at verse 45 in Daniel 11. We'll simply read the last verse of chapter 11 and the first verse of chapter 12 together. And you'll see what I'm talking about. So beginning of verse 45, let's read through verse 1, beginning. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now I want you to look close to what you just read. We're going to begin the final chapter in Daniel by seeing clearly that Daniel 11 prophecies are about Antiochus and the coming Antichrist. And as we just read in those verses, we just read verse 45 of chapter 11 and verse 1 of chapter 12. Just look at what you just read. We ended, and it's talking about the, verse 45 is the last prophecy about Antiochus, or Antiochus, according to how you pronounce it. And it, without missing a beat, it says, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And verse 12 picks right up, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, I want to tell you something that you don't have to believe, but I want to tell you this. Look at that. You've got a chapter separation there between 45 and 1. It's almost as though the Holy Spirit wants you to realize there's a break there. You see, because verse 45 is where Antiochus ends.
But in the dual fulfillment, it doesn't end there. It continues on into the next chapter. To some people that might seem a little eerie or strange that the chapter markings, which weren't in the originals. Think about that. That's why they will rake you over the coals if you say it, but that's why you shouldn't say it unless you can back it up. But that King James Bible in your hand is superior to the originals.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you couldn't read the originals.
Amen.
And you couldn't find chapter 12, verse 1 in the originals because there were no chapters and verses.
Yep.
And if you could read the Aramaic and Hebrew of the Old Testament, you would come here and you would miss this.
Yes.
I believe that's part of the reason why the Jews did miss it and continue to miss it. Jews who believe the King James Bible become Christians. That's the truth. And I'm just telling you, the more you read your King James Bible and you see stuff like this, you find out there's a reason why a lot of people out there you know who won't read a King James Bible are like a rock.
Yeah.
That dumb.
Amen.
You talk to them about the Bible, they're as blind as can be.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're reading books that are perverted and corrupt.
Yeah.
And because it lacks the power, they don't really even read them. They don't read them. So, reality check, we put that together. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him, and at that time shall Michael stand up. That's a truth that is really, I think, doesn't even land on the plate of people who don't study a King James Bible.
Amen.
And I mentioned Larkin last week, and I still say, some of the best stuff you can get. But why did Larkin miss this? He kept going to the RV.
Yeah.
If you read his notes, he constantly kept going back to the RV. It'll cloud your vision.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about Michael here in chapter 12. Now we're in up to our noses in the tribulation period, as it's called, the Daniel 70th week. This doesn't have anything to do with Antiochus, Antiochus. It have anything to do with what happened. It's all future. And this is something that might seem obvious, but it's something you ought to really think through. All information outside of Scripture about Michael is to be rejected.
Amen.
You will find people, even Christians, who will make reference to extra biblical sources about Michael. There's this thing called the Book of Enoch.
Yeah.
Prophecy teachers are out there quoting Enoch like it's an inspired book. Then there are a lot of people out there become very evangelistic about it. They go online and they'll come after you and saying, well, you know, you're just believing tradition because you won't accept Enoch as a book of the Bible. We've talked about it in some detail. We've talked about why we do not believe Enoch is part of the Bible. And one reason is most of it was written in the 4th century. So it couldn't be a part of the Bible. The canon was closed before it was finished. There's a couple of portions they think might have come from before the time of Christ and then was added to later. But it's not inspired, the Book of Enoch. And anything else, if someone tells you about Michael, if you can't find it in the Bible, what do you do with it? Huh? Talking with your mouth full. That's why I couldn't understand her. Alright, let's look at some biblical info on Michael so we can see. This is pretty exhaustive actually because there's not a lot taught about Michael. But number one, he fights alongside Gabriel against fallen angels, principalities, and powers. Now, that's something I'd like to see. But let's look over just a couple of pages in Daniel chapter 10. It's described. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, to start with. Verse 13 says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So there you see, Michael shows up to help Gabriel. And then look at verses 20 and 21 at the end of the chapter. "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." Yeah, I wish I had that. I could play it, actually. That's just what... He's going to fight. I love it. Am I the only one that gets a little, you know, willy about that? You ever feel that way? You're reading that? "Knowest thou therefore wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Verse 21, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there..." I love this. "There is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince." He's the prince of Israel. Isn't that something? Number two, he's an archangel and he disputes with Satan. How many of you read that in Jude? Go all the way back to the next to the last book of the Bible. It's got one chapter, Jude. If you ever want to sound real spiritual and boast, you can go around and tell everybody, read Jude, and you can say you read a whole book of the Bible one day. Jude. Now, I put chapter 1, verse 9, because I don't take for granted everybody knows there's only one chapter. And a lot of guys like to, you know, well, there's just one chapter, so you just put Jude 9. Well, you got people just think you made a typo. But Jude 1, 9 says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." First of all, I got to say, that's why you should not pay any attention to these preachers who act all big and they talk about how, "I met the devil and I told him what I thought of him. And I said, you dirty little thing, you..." You know, and you're like, even Michael the archangel doesn't talk to Satan like that. You know what would happen to you? And I think God would let it happen. If Satan showed up right here today and you started talking to him like that, Satan would go, boom. And God just let it happen. Why? He'd do the same thing if you step in front of that train going by right now.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to stop Satan from going, boom, when you talk to Satan in a way that isn't biblical? You're dealing with Satan. This stuff about, "Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus," and all that stuff, that's not Bible. You'll see that in the Bible. Read it. Read the entire New Testament. Show me where anybody talked like that. So when you see this stuff on TV, just like we're talking about Michael, you go into new bookstores, you go down to Barnes & Noble, you'll find books about Michael. You better not buy those. They're not written biblically. You know what a lot of those are? Is they claim to be talking to angels. They say they have communications with angels. What does that name, that? Black crows? She says she talks to angels. And then all of a sudden you have everybody talking to angels because it was in a rock song. Wearing little amulets around their neck with angels and things. That's that. We talk about Sunday, pop culture. The word culture. What's the first? C-U-L-T. Cult. It is. You look at what people do in pop culture, you'll find more and more of it. It's of a spiritual nature. It's unbiblical, and it's downright cultic. And sadly, that Roma, what was her name, that had touched by an angel, people thought, "Ooh, I'm going to look around for..." Well, first of all, the Bible never says anything about a female angel. I'm just saying, that's not in the Bible. They were always men. And then you got a black woman who, Della Reese, I think it was her name, but not Della Reese, was it? Was it Della Reese? Well, that's a total guess, man. Shot in the dark there, I hit it. But then you had Roma Downing. That was her name. And these angels. And then they would interact with people. And at the end, every time they'd put up, just like John was talking about, the spotlight on my head. Oh, I'm an angel. You remember that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Touched by an Angel, the TV show? Yeah. Well, people went out and started buying up books and trinkets and went to this one lady's place where I believe she's a good Christian lady. I mean, I hate to think otherwise, but man, went to her place. She had angels, these little figurines and stuff, and they were all feminine, and some of them were downright sensual. You know what I mean? And you'll see that on the internet. A lot of the angels are portrayed sexually. And a lot of them are women, and they have a lot of cleavage, and they're, for some reason the angel outfits are really high cut on the, you know, and you're like, what in the world? If that's what you'll find, you go out there and look at it. So that's why it's so important to stick to the Bible about angels and stick to the Bible when it comes to any of this stuff. You talk about, how many of you know Satan is not an equal with Jesus? And so Satan, people are out there rebuking Satan, and there's, I mean, most of them are charismatics who do that. And they say there's a million charismatics all over the world. It's possible one of them is right. The other one are just rebuking the wall. Satan! Nah, blah, blah. Wait a minute, he can only be at one place at one time. Now, there are devils, and he might be rebuking a devil, but it's not the big one. It's not the head, Lucifer, you know, head of the army. Yeah, Doug? Yeah. Bass Pro Shop. That's what he said. Casting and binding. That was good. Oh, and as we've seen in these verses, no other angel is called an archangel. How many of you heard people talk about other archangels? And Gabriel is called an archangel. The Bible never calls him an archangel. Someone said, well, don't you think that's possible? I think, you know, I just think the Bible would have mentioned it. Is Gabriel important? Absolutely is. And he got the privilege of, you know, for example, talking to Daniel and giving him the prophecy that would predict the very day of Jesus' appearance. Then he gets to come down and tell Mary she's about to have Jesus. And he gets to tell us what the name is. All throughout the Old Testament, everybody's wondering, I wonder what the Messiah is going to be named. And Gabriel says, he shall be called Jesus. That's the first time you heard it. Isn't that something? Amen. Wouldn't that be something for you to be the, if you were an angel? None of you are. Be given that task of being the first person to pronounce that name on the planet as belonging to the Son of God? I got to make fun of you. Not really make fun of it. This is funny. Sister Faith posted on her Facebook page about Jesus. She just put the name Jesus. And I put on there, they'll do that. It's a neat little thing. You put it on Facebook and people then can say, Jesus, and I said, is the Lord. And other people said, he is wonderful. And now that Stephen, he posts on there, he's the cook at the local Mexican restaurant. And she's thinking, blasphemy. And I'm like, it's a Mexican joke. Oh, they're all named Jesus, Jesus. Your neighbor, yes. So, you know, if you know, I understand Stephen's sense of humor, so I got it. But there's no other angel in the Bible called archangel. And you got to watch this because you'll hear people teach. And they'll call. And then, of course, I think in Enoch, there's numerous that are identified as archangels. Now, our third point is that we will hear Michael's voice at the rapture. Do you know that? People get that mixed up, but if you read it close, we're going to see. I'm going to explode a couple of unbiblical rapture myths. Number one, how many of you have heard that Gabriel's going to blow a trumpet? There's even songs about it. Might be songs about it, but there's no Bible verses about it. Bible never says Gabriel's going to blow a horn. I told you it's on one of the other studies. I'll repeat it for those who didn't hear it, because that's what preachers do. They tell the same stories over and over. And this woman was going around all over the state back in the 90s telling everybody that she was driving down the road and suddenly a man appeared in her back seat. Instead of shooting him or macing him or calling the police, she had a conversation with him. And he said, "Gabriel's lips are on the horn." And she looked down at the car, at the street, started running. She looked back up to ask him a question. He was gone. And so she would go to churches, and I'm talking right here in Ohio. And she'd go to little churches and everything, and she'd testify. And she'd say, "I believe the Lord's coming soon. I had this happen to me." And she'd tell this story. It's been 25 years since I first heard that story, and Jesus still hadn't come back. And then, but after she said, actually, someone came in then to the church I was at, and they told the story that this woman had said this at a revival meeting that she'd attended. And I thought, and I just asked, I said, "Where does the Bible say Gabriel blows a trumpet?" "Oh, it's in there." I said, "Well, let's find that." Couldn't find it. "Not in there." So I don't know what that was showed up in her back seat, but I think she should not possibly shouldn't be driving anyway. I'll put it that way. The other myth is that Jesus calls us up in the rapture, and I may have been. I was thinking about it earlier. I don't know that I said that, but I may have been guilty of saying that when Jesus calls us home, because it's said so often, and we just exploded. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16, a passage you should be familiar with. "For the Lord Himself," see, "the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout," but it's not Him shouting, "with the voice of the archangel." So Jesus descends and there's a shout. It tells you who's the voice of the shout is from the archangel. Ain't that something? Think about it. "And with the trump of God." Doesn't say anything about Gabriel. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Ain't that something? That's why people who are even familiar with that text will still, because we have to be careful. Read it closely. And you say, "Well, it isn't a big deal." Well, I don't know. I think it's a pretty big deal. I think we should try to be correct, and error begets error. Yeah. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking you've been careless, and you're thinking that Jesus shouts and Gabriel blows the trumpet and then someone stands up and gives that false prophecy, you wouldn't know that it's a false prophecy, yeah, necessarily. But when I heard it, I just happened to be pretty familiar with this text. And I said, "Well, you know, wait a minute now. You're claiming Jesus is about to have Gabriel blow the trumpet when the Bible doesn't say Gabriel blows the trumpet. And the voice is the voice of the archangel. There's no reference to Gabriel blowing the trump of God." Amen? You can look it up again later. Four. Point number four. Michael fights for Israel against the devil during the 70th week. You remember that from our Revelation studies? Michael fights for Israel against the devil. He won that one in Jude. He got the body of Moses, because Moses shows up, I believe, as one of the two witnesses. So he got the body. Look over at Revelation 12. I'm in Jude still, so I don't have far to go. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. And if you need to understand why this woman, first three words of verse 6 is "and the woman." If you need to know why I say that's Israel, then go back and listen to our study on Revelation 12. We spent a whole entire lesson on that in covering verses 1 and 2. Verse 6 of Revelation 12 says, "And this woman," who is Israel, "fled into the wilderness." We believe that's Petra. "Where she hath a place prepared of God." It's right there now. Excuse you. Don't know what that was, but "where she hath a place prepared for of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. Anybody going to do the math and tell me how long that is? Ah, good. 3.5 years. Verse 7, read it with me. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Oh, man. I think we're going to see that. You say, based on what? Based on I just want to see it really bad. But, you know, we're going to be in heaven at this point, and the marriage supper has taken place. And this is at the real, this is toward the end. So, you know what? If man can take me right now via Samsung Galaxy phone, and right now anybody on planet Earth with an internet connection can watch what you're watching right now. It's not pretty, but it's Bible. Now, if man can do that, I just think that when we're in heaven, if God wants to pop up a big screen out of nothing, ex nihilo, and have us see what's going on Earth, He can do it. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I expect. So it says that He prevailed not, the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's another thing people don't understand. Satan can still access heaven. He doesn't go into the heaven of heavens and the holy of holies and all that, but he can access heaven just like he did in Job. But at this point, things changed. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Ain't that something? And Michael is the General Patton of angels. Satan must really despise Michael. That would explain why there's so much lies about him. Pictures of him with wings and things that we know the Bible doesn't say anything about. Making it look like he's something he's not. All that sort of thing. And point number 5, Michael was created by Jesus. That's an obvious thing, but we'll see why that's so important. If you turn over to John 1, we're going to move more quickly. I've got to move, get through this. But John chapter 1. And I'll read verses 1 and 2 while you turn there. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. He's eternal. And that means He's not the Father. And the Word was God. That means He's God. Deity. That's a Trinity there. The same was in the beginning with God. Read verse 3 with me. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that includes Michael. Go over to Colossians 1. We've been studying on Sundays. Colossians 1 verses 14 through 17. Again, I'll read a couple of verses while you turn there. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Who's that talking about? Jesus. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Read verse 16 and 17 with me. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. There are some knuckleheads and heretics and apostates out there that try to deny what that says and pretend that Jesus is a created being. Contrary to the teaching of the Watchtower cult of Jehovah's false...